Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Bureau Briefing. It is Carl, and with me today, I have got Mr. Dave Pryor. He has all the certifications you can imagine. In fact, I'm not even going to start. Oh, hell, I am going to list them. PMP, PMIACP, CSM, CSPO, CSP, CST, and VIP, if you ask me. Mr. Dave Pryor.
Thank
How's
you.
It going, Dave?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and I'm in a totally goofy mood. So it just hits. I'll probably have the giggles the whole show. Now, you're going to be joining us at the Digital PM Summit, which is in Vegas this October 15th through 17th, and you're going to be talking about hacking Agile.
Yes.
And I love this because as somebody who ran a digital studio, man, we couldn't figure out Agile.
Yeah.
So what do you see when you're talking with studio owners that they struggle with all the time?
Well, it comes up in a lot of the classes. So I get a lot of digital students in the CSM and the CSPO classes, and they're all trying to figure out how to make it work because so much of it seems at odds with the way that most of those agencies are run and have been run for a really long time. So the whole idea of stable teams that are only working on one thing for one client is very challenging. If you're used to an environment where you're switching people around all the time and everybody's working on 13 or 14 things, I think for a lot of folks it represents a bit of a barrier. And one of the things I've been trying to do in the past couple of years when I've been at the summit is finding ways to kind of adapt it. I personally feel like there needs to be a different format for Agile or some kind of different framework that's better suited to the type of work agencies do.
I appreciate you saying that because Agile has always felt like, I don't know, it was almost like a club you had to join. And yes. As somebody who was running a studio, I was worried I wasn't going to know the handshake or I was going to say something wrong. And suddenly somebody was going to lowercase my A.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, when I took my class, they actually, first I said I was a PMP and they booed me. And later on, I talked about fixing people's estimates. And I think at one point I referred to people as resources and they threw stuff at me. So there's a lot of that happens to me all the time. I think if you're going to be hanging around Agile people, you're going to have to just accept that at some point you're going to be wearing the dunce cap and sent to the corner.
At DPM camp, and I'm not sure, it might have been Tara Simon who said this, or they were quoting somebody else, but they said, if you can call me a resource, I get to call you overhead.
Nice. That's
good. And I was good. Like, oh my goodness. So you went in and you mentioned you were PMP and you got booed. You said resources and stuff. So I totally get that. And Agile, like the true discipline,
yeah,
has been around forever, right? And you've been doing this for almost a couple of decades.
Well, I don't know. I've been managing projects for over 20 years, and I'm over more than the last 10 at least has been spent fully just focusing on Agile. But before that, I spent about 8 years trying not to do it. So I was around it. I just hated it and thought it was stupid and didn't want any part of it. So the stuff that I do, like the session or the classes that I teach, the focus that I have is really on the fact that when I went through that transition, it was really, really painful. And there wasn't anybody to kind of explain a lot of it and help me understand how it was going to work. So the work that I do kind of professionally is focused on making that suck just a little bit less for somebody else than it did for me.
Now, what was it that finally convinced you after those 8 years, oh, hell, I got to do this?
Well, there was a sort of an intervention meeting where a bunch of developers sat me down in a chair and stood around me in a circle, and one of them
was duct tape involved?
No. Well, emotional duct tape. They sat me down, and they stood in a circle, and one of them looked at me and said, dude, you got to stop with this waterfall crap. And he said, we've proven that it doesn't work. And it seemed like the Agile people always say we've, like the universe, except you, you dumb bastard. We know it doesn't work. And so I went off and I got Scrum certified in Scrum. I took a CSM class.
Right.
And I came back and I went into the room. I'm like, guys, I learned Scrum. And one of them turned around, like didn't even fully turn around, just turned his head around and looked at me and said, Scrum, please. Scrum is full of waste. We do lean. And I was like, now I got to go learn something else. So there's a bit of... There's not as much, but there's still a bit of the dogmatic thing. There's some people that are a little bit snooty about different flavors of Agile. But at the end of the day, nobody's going to give you a bonus for being super Agile. It's about delivering value for your customer and trying to treat people like human beings. And I think however you can go about doing that is a big win. And in the context of digital, there are practices that you can employ, and there's lots of different things you can do to head in that direction. But I still think that there's some kind of inherent issues with that model and the relationship with the customer that bring a lot of challenges. So in the session, I'm hoping to kind of dig into that a little bit further and explore some things people might be able to do so that when they leave, they have some tactical steps they can take to try to move more in the direction of Agile.
I have this desire right now to just loud and proud promote Waterfall.
Have at it. Let's go. I can fight this debate on either side.
Let's sit a developer down and surround him and go, look, I've been trying this Agile crap and it just doesn't work. We've shown that Waterfall works.
I don't think that argument's going to last very long.
I don't think it is either. Because as well as, you know, the well-being of the team and the client, it's also the bottom line. And it does feel like Agile gets to the finish line with a better product faster.
I think it does. I think you might not get everything the customer needs. Are there everything the customer says that they want when they walk in the door? But my experience has been that most of the time, the customers don't necessarily know what they need. They just have this idea of a solution to a problem. And a lot of the people who do the work have a tendency to kind of jump the gun and say, oh, yeah, we know how to do that, when they haven't really figured it out. So this whole idea of fast feedback loops and just learning is, you know, in kind of a partnered environment, is meant to help get to a better solution, even if it doesn't include every single thing that the customer said they had to have when they came in the door.
Well, and I'll tell you, the reason I think most digital agencies, ones that do have more of a creative element, not that everybody doesn't have a creative element, but I mean in the sense of, you know, more design-oriented.
Yeah.
They hate spec documents anyway.
Well, and they don't read them. Yeah.
No. And if they do, they don't understand them.
Right.
And it's just so nasty. Your brain shuts off. That's why you're in the creative space, because you couldn't focus on that crap for that long.
Yeah. And so, I think a parallel would be if you built, you know, something for a customer and did all the design work and built the entire thing out and never showed them anything until the end.
Mm-hmm.
Design needs that iterative approach. And so does the rest of the work. We're just trying to spread it down through the rest of the system.
And that's definitely been a change. I even saw it at Engine in 2003 when we started. Like, you know, that traditional advertising model was, you know, show three things and throw away two of them. And honestly, show the one thing you like, the other one that's okay, and the one because you needed three.
Yeah.
And when we started at Engine, we just told people, you know, if we knew we were going against a shop like that, we'd be like, they're throwing away 66% of your budget.
Yeah.
Like, why would you let them do that? Would they, do they not know what's going to work? But then again, if we were going against the person that was showing one, we'd say, how can they only show you one, right? So we would always just position that way. But what do you see when you're talking with a digital agency? What are the things they hold on to? What are their comfort points that they don't like to let go of when it comes to Agile?
Well, I think that they don't want to let go of this idea of, you know, being able to move people around from team to team and having them work on multiple things at once, because the nature of running one of those businesses is you need a lot of clients and they all want different things at different times. And the only way to keep everybody, you know, fully billable is to have them work on a whole bunch of stuff at once. And so that's part of the challenge. I think one thing that agencies might want to let go of, but that is just built into the nature of the relationship, is, to say it in a very crude way, the agency is basically the client's bitch, and the client gets to say, you know, snap my fingers, do this now. And the relationship has always been that the client, you know, the agency responds immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's changeable or not, but I did have a customer, or I had two people in my class last week that came to find out how to work better with the digital agency. So that was the first time that's ever happened. It was pretty amazing.
That is amazing. And I'll tell you, what I've seen is you've got digital agencies emerge from one of two places, either advertising agencies or software companies.
Yep.
Right? And when they came out of software companies, they're used to weekly billing, they're used to more agile approach, they're used to saying no, right? When they come out of agencies, advertising agencies, they're more relationship-based, they want the client to be happy, all this type of stuff. But there were also those shops that came out of advertising agencies, Engine, my shop was one of them, where we said, we're gonna be project-based, not relationship-based. And this was horrible. I mean, we lost a lot of really good work, probably. But the idea was, we want the work to be as good as possible, and we didn't realize you could do that with the client.
Yeah, right? Because the client's
we thought
the enemy.
The client was the enemy.
Right, right.
It's like, yeah. Engine, I have $25,000 deposit I'm going to give you, and then I'm going to try to screw it up. No, never. Right. They don't give you the money and then try to derail you.
Well, and I don't think they're trying to derail you. I mean, there's two sides to it. I don't think they're trying to derail you. I think that one of the challenges is going to be they're very accustomed to working in a way where they throw stuff over the wall.
Right.
And that's got to change. Like, that is one thing that has to be altered if you want to move to a more agile state. The other thing is, you know, you kind of brought this up earlier where they give you the money and they're expecting three designs and you're going to throw two of them away. I think a lot of agencies on the design heavy side got to get away with the, we know, we're the experts, you just trust us. And it was this bravado thing that may be true, but I think the more you can educate the client and make them part of the decision-making process, the more likely it is that they'll get to an end state where, I don't know if they'll be happy, but they'll get what they need. I'm a big believer in not being responsible for happiness because that's impossible.
I wish you would talk to my wife. Oh, my God.
Well, I didn't say this stuff applies to marriage. I'm just talking about work.
Okay. I thought we were hacking marriage. That's not what we're doing here.
Yeah, well, it is iterative, right? If your wife came with acceptance criteria, it would be much easier.
Oh, man, I'm so glad she doesn't listen to this show. So talking about agencies and talking about this desire to have people on multiple projects.
Yeah.
Now, there are shops that get away from that wouldn't consider themselves agile. And I think it's because they know it's better for the project. But what they might have people on two projects at a time, one that's a fallback in case the first project stalls out.
Sure.
So when you go to not even a pure agile, but let's say, you know, it's whatever this kind of hybrid is for a digital agency, can you get away with having more than one project, or is one project a requirement?
I think that there's going to have to be ways to do it. If this is going to survive in a digital model, I just can't see how the economics would work out, you know, unless everything was, all the projects were so big and so full on that everybody could be fully dedicated. But
right.
Maybe you can get to stable teams. If you could have a team of people that, you know, this core stays together all the time, and then
right.
The benefit you get there is the relationships, the understanding of their capacity for work, estimation gets better, the communication flows better, and they perform at a much higher level, that would allow them to maybe take on more than one thing at a time, because for them it's just work. And you know, a lot of companies want to do Scrum, but in some situations Kanban is a much better fit for a lot of organizations.
Now, explain Kanban for a second, because I am going to out myself and say that I have no experience with it whatsoever.
So it comes out of manufacturing. And okay. There's a lot of practices that have bled, and I'll try to give a very simple explanation, at least of how I look at it. So it looks a lot like Scrum, but it's a little bit different. The idea is that you would have a queue. So everybody wants work, it all gets in line. So let's say you have a design department that's so small, you can't have a design person on each team. So maybe the design group is working in Kanban, and so there's this list that's growing all the time of new stuff people want. And they take one thing at a time, move it across the board, and get it to done. And everybody's just kind of handled, you know, in the order in which they're in line. You can build escalation paths in there, but the focus shifts a little bit in this type of approach, in that one, you're trying to limit the amount of work in process, so you're only going to do a couple things at a time. Two, you can't move anything into a doing column until you move something out, so that's part of limiting your WIP. So if I want to bring in something new, I've got to finish something first. And you're constantly delivering, so you don't have to wait for the end of the iteration. So that's one of the reasons a lot of people switch from Scrum over to something like Kanban, because you can just ship all the time. What I found is that the way that you look at the work changes. So in Scrum, you have a retrospective, and in Kanban, you still have that too, but what you're measuring are things like queue time. So if I'm at, you know, position 5 waiting for my thing to move into doing, on average, how long will it be till I get it out the other side? And you can start to find ways to try to manage efficiency in the workflow. So you go into conversations about how do we work smarter and better. And that can be very beneficial. I think another probably big shift, kind of jumping away from your question, is that in an agile approach, and this would apply to Scrum or to Kanban, everybody has a speciality, but they deliver as a team. So if I'm a coder, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to do other types of stuff. I might do QA, I might write a little bit, because the whole team has to become this unit that instead of being a group of individuals, is a collective I.
And is that true in Kanban as well as in Agile?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Do you find that digital agencies are more receptive of Kanban?
I think it's a better fit for a lot of them just because the nature of, you know, you've got small groups. You might have a couple designers, a couple developers, and how they're going to handle that workflow, if they're still siloed, that can be one of the ways to start to understand how you could become more agile. So Kanban is easier for a lot of people to switch to because it doesn't ask you to change the way Scrum does. It just wants you to map out how you work. And if you're studying that, you might start to realize, well, you know, we've got these guys all separated. Maybe it would make more sense, or we should try an experiment where we just put them together and let them move stuff across the board together and get things like better cross-functionality, help them be better at self-organizing, things like that, so they can take more ownership of the work.
Now, do the people who believe in Kanban also hold interventions, or is that just Agile?
What do you mean interventions? You mean
where like they sit you down and get around you in a circle and flog you until you agree?
Oh, no, I think that was just because me. I was so waterfall-oriented. I mean, and I love water. I love that stuff. I got a master's degree in it. I mean, it's a really big deal to me, and I love the order of it, but it just doesn't work with knowledge.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So what would you say are the mandatories? Because when we're talking about, you know, hacking Agile so that it works more for a digital agency, what would you say are some of the mandatories that a digital agency is just going to have to accept?
So I'm going to have to start out by, I work for a company called Leading Agile, and one of the big things that Mike Kottmeyer, the founder of the company, believes is that there's three things that are, you know, immovable. You have to have stable teams, you have to have a well-formed product backlog, and you have to be able to regularly deliver working tested software. And if you don't have those, your ability to Agile is really in a dangerous spot. Now, I think it's possible for agencies to get to a point where they have a really well-formed product backlog and that they're able to deliver working tested, you know, elements of work in a short cycle. The struggle is going to be those stable teams, especially if you've got people spread across multiple projects or multiple clients. But that's where I would advocate for have a stable team. If they have to do 50 things, let's just start out there. So at least it's the same core people working together, and they can develop efficiencies in their interaction that will help them better manage the fact that they're working on, you know, however many different projects at once.
Now, would that also mean, I know in a traditional Agile, at least this is my understanding, I could be off on this, it could just be on pure team-based, but the client has to be involved every day. Is that
you
true?
You would like that. I think that's ideal. When I was doing agency work back in the day when we called them web shops, I think I only had one project where that happened, where the client was showing up every day. And that was very challenging because the transparency becomes a bit of a concern. I mean, I was used to two different project schedules, the one I gave to the customer and the one that I used.
Right.
So that can be tough. But if you can get client interaction at that level, that's great. If not, you're going to have somebody on the agency side who knows the client well enough that they can advocate for them and make decisions for them on a regular basis.
Now, one of the things you mentioned as a requirement is a good backlog of work.
Yep.
And the ability to ship that work to get it flowing. Now, for an agency, or I apologize, a shop, you know, we raised our rates. We couldn't be a shop anymore.
Yes.
But when a digital agency is ready to make that move, they're going to have to be ready for things to fall apart a little bit, I would imagine, because you're going to change who your clients are. If you've always had clients that stall out and you've always had clients that, you know, the work shows up in a rush and you have to throw people around. So I guess that would be the thing. How do you prepare a digital agency when they're ready to make this shift?
Well, I think that there's a slightly different question maybe, and that is, you know, is the agency, do they want Agile so bad that they're willing to take on the role of having to re-educate the customer? Because that is a big rub in this spot, is that a lot of the, you know, clients, they don't understand Agile. So if you want them to have that level of engagement when traditionally they've just thrown it over the wall and waited, that's pretty tough. Are you able to take that on? And if you can't have that, how are you going to change the nature of the engagement so that you've got some way of getting the information you need so you can keep delivering? It's also important to remember that it doesn't mean you have to ship at the end of every iteration. Just the work has to be potentially shippable, meaning that there's nothing else we have to do to this except send it out the door. So it's fully designed, fully developed, fully tested. It's ready to go.
Now, do you actually engage with, say, a digital agency's clients at all? If that agency is making that shift, would you help consult and bring the agency and their clients together?
I think that would be great, yeah. I mean, it's important for anybody who's switching to this type of work to understand that it does get you to a much better place, but not without a lot of pain and a lot of discomfort. And if you're going to be talking to your customer, I would say, look, you know, we're going to make sure that we get you the most, you know, what you need. We're going to deliver it to you in the order that you want it. So not in the order that we want to develop it, but whatever's most valuable to you, we're going to do that first. And you can change your mind all the time. And you can keep adding to the scope all the time. But the trade-off is you have to be engaged on a daily basis. You have to be involved with us at this level and become part of our team if you want that freedom. So they do get a big win. You know, they get, there really is no scope. We're just here working for however long for X amount of dollars, delivering whatever you need the most in the order you want it. And you can keep changing your mind. But the only way that works is if you're with us.
Right. Well, Dave, you've got me wanting to boot my shop back up and give this a go because honestly, we have no clients right now. So it's a perfect time to start.
There you go.
Well, thanks so much for being with us on the show today. And I'm excited to sit in on your Hacking Agile workshop. And that's going to be October 15th through 17th in Vegas at the Digital PM Summit. And we hope that you'll join us. Thanks again, Dave.
Cool. Thanks for having me, man.